Amen. Well, as I mentioned, we're going to wrap up our series today, Unwrapping Christmas. And we've been talking about various gifts that we get and how the various gift things work. And as we started the series, we talked about those gifts that we ask for, those gifts that land on our list. Then we talked about those gifts that don't land on our list, but that someone gives us anyway. And we find out afterwards, whew, that was really a good gift. I'm really glad I got that gift. And so we have the things we ask for, the things that we don't ask for. And then we also talked about those pragmatic gifts, those simple pragmatic gifts. So did anyone get any deodorant or toothbrushes for Christmas this year? Well, I don't think we had any in our house being given out this year. But as I said, I have gotten them in the past. But how about some other, like anyone get socks? Yeah, so lots of socks. You know, they're kind of fun socks, but they're also kind of pragmatic, aren't they? We need them. We give these pragmatic things every year, those pragmatic gifts. Well, it's now after Christmas. And there's one more category of gifts. You might know where I am going. And if you look on your outline, you'll see a little hint. I have white elephants, returns, and exchanges. Right? Isn't that part of the process now? Last night I was going through the banking. Yesterday I was going through banking and going through some receipts and setting some things aside because there's a few things that we're going to return. Not many, but a couple things. And so we're setting the receipts aside, making sure we have all the things together so that when we go out, we can go to the store and go here and then go there and then go there. And we'll get it done. But it's now that season, isn't it? And it's also that after Christmas sale time. So when you get that pragmatic gift of some cash, don't you love getting some cash? But that's also really a pragmatic gift, isn't it? Because you're saying to yourself, it's after Christmas, and I'm going to hit some after Christmas sales. We're looking forward to that. All that good stuff. Well, let me hit the first thing, the first point that we look at. Because last week, as we finished, I asked you and put the challenge before you, what gifts has God given you through Jesus? And I've encouraged you to think about it. And we touched on 12 over these last 3 weeks. But there are other gifts that God does give you. And I would encourage you to think through, what gifts has God given to you? Because here's one of the things that happens with gifts. We don't always learn how to use them. You ever have that happen to you? I'll be careful over here as I...
My baby.
Pick up your baby? No, okay. But has any of you ever gotten something like a guitar for Christmas or something like that? You did. Or I was going to bring Brian's, we gave Brian a hoverboard for Christmas. So it was kind of fun. And I was going to use it today, except it wasn't working. And so I brought it to Home Depot. I brought it back to Best Buy yesterday to exchange it for one that did work correctly. And they said, we have none in stock. You're not going to get it until the 3rd. So I didn't have it today. But that's one of those things that kind of stand up on their own. They have those little gyros in there. And then you get to stand on it. And, you know, and it kind of, depending on how you lean and move. Well, we went outside on the patio out back and I put one hand on Brian's shoulder. I think Daniel's there. I put the other hand on and I stood on it and I got right off. Okay, now for me to learn to do that, it would take some practice. I would have to work at getting that down. And that happens sometimes with our gifts, isn't it? We get some stuff and sometimes the things we get aren't things that we can use right away, fully to their potential, right out of the box or right out of the package. Sometimes they are things that we need to figure out how to use. I want to encourage you to learn how to use the gifts you have already received. Because sometimes we get a gift, and when we don't figure out how to really use it, we take it and we put it on the shelf. Or we say, this wasn't such a good gift after all. I thought I really wanted it, but I guess maybe I didn't want it as much as I thought I did. And it's not because it isn't a great gift. It's an amazing gift. But we just haven't figured out how to use it. It's not the gift's fault. It's user error. Or user failure, probably more is a better way to say it. Because we have failed to maximize the gift. And so, let's just kind of walk through some of these gifts that we already talked about that Jesus gave us. Forgiveness. When you walk through in your life and you, if you have come to know Jesus, Jesus comes into our life and he forgives us. And one of the amazing things that God does is not only does he forgives us, but he begins to build into us a desire to forgive others. But can I suggest something to you? If you are wrestling with experiencing the reality of God's forgiveness in your life, or you're wrestling with the reality of forgiving others in your life, it's not because there's a deficiency in God's gift. I would suggest to you that you haven't figured out how to use that gift well yet. And you haven't figured out and learned how to rest in the reality of that gift. And so what do? We go back to the user manual and we start to, now you can Google it. Okay, you can go to the user manual and figure it out and start to explore it. But I would encourage you, there's more to learn on the issues of forgiveness if you haven't mastered it yet. See, it's an amazing gift to be able to live life with freedom knowing that I am forgiven. Now, am I the only one this week who has messed up this week? Because I have a hunch I'm not. Okay, I think all of us at different times, we all just really mess up and we drop the ball. But to be able to live with the joy of knowing that I am forgiven, to not live under the shadow of being, okay? And to recognize that I'm not living waiting for God to get me. But then also to live in relationship with other people, learning to live with forgiveness and not carrying around the weight and the burden of needing to avoid people or not respond to people or not be happy with people because I'm not liking them. Because we haven't worked on forgiveness. And to be able to drop that stuff and to live with the lightness of life because forgiveness is present. See, the gift of forgiveness is an amazing gift. Because it's not just the gift of forgiveness, it's also the gift of learning how to live with forgiveness towards others. It's an amazing, amazing gift that God has given us. The challenge isn't the gift. Sometimes it's user using it and learning how to master and develop what God has done. Am I making sense? How about healed hurts? Jesus comes into our lives. This is connected to the issues of forgiveness. And Jesus comes in and he helps bring healing to hurts and pains in our lives. These are great things. And as we process our journey and walk our journey, we've talked about the amazingness of these gifts that God has given us. And we get to experience the healing of hurt, the healing of pain, and the releasing of burden. How are you unpacking the gift that God has given you? We talk about reconciled relationships. We talked about love. We talked about the presence of the Holy Spirit and how the Holy Spirit wants to lead us into truth and how the Holy Spirit quickens our spirit and the work and the things that the Holy Spirit does in our lives. But you want to know something? We can quench and stifle the work of the Holy Spirit, or we can release the Holy Spirit to have access and to flow. And how we react and how we respond to the gift that God has given us will determine and dictate whether or not we're going to experience the fullness of the presence of the Spirit or whether it's going to be a squelched and choked feed into our lives. And we're going to experience less because we are closing ourselves off. Again, am I making sense? So the challenge I want to encourage you with is learn how to use the gifts you have received. A new family. God has given us a new family. Here's one of the things that's just really, 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 really cool. No one should really need to live with a sense of aloneness. In a sense of, there's no one in my life. Because Jesus has given us a new family. And so if we live with that sense of aloneness, if we live with that sense of isolation, it's not because God hasn't given us a good gift. I would suggest it's because we haven't figured out how to live and experience the reality and the greatness of the gift that has been given. Help carrying the burdens of life, faith, believing that God will do what he said, prayer. Can I suggest to you that one of the gifts that we probably don't use and figure out how to use well enough is prayer? It's one of those things we can keep on working on. God's word. Have you ever said something, man, I wish I just knew God's word better. Have you ever heard someone say that? Wave at me if you've heard someone say that before. Yeah, I've heard people say, I just wish I knew God's word better. Well, can I tell you something? Anyone can know God's word better. All it takes is some reading. Amen. And if you don't have a good reader, just get a cassette player. Get a phone. You can get it online and just play Bible. But see, we can get into God's word and we can discover God's word. We can discover it. It's not undiscoverable. So are you using the gift? Are you exploring the gift? Are you delving into the gift that's been given? Now, we have a verse here. I want to look at this verse real quick. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1. No, 1 Corinthians 12, verse 7. Every single one of us has received a spiritual gift. A spiritual gift is given to each of us so we can help each other. If you have come to a point in your life where you've put your faith and trust in Jesus, you have received a spiritual gift from God. As the Holy Spirit has come into your life, the Holy Spirit has gifted you in a unique and special way so that you can be a blessing to the body of Christ and to serve the body of Christ and so that others can be encouraged and built up in the things of the Lord. If you are in Jesus, you have a spiritual gift. Amen, hallelujah. Every one of us has it if you're in Jesus. Now, I'm not going to ask you to wave at me. But if I were to say to you, write down the spiritual gift that God has given you, could you write it down? Could you identify what that gift is? Can I suggest to you, if you can't write that gift down, it's not because God has dropped the ball and forgot to give you your gift. But rather it's because you haven't taken the time to unpack that gift and to really understand it and really develop it. Do you understand what I'm saying? See, we receive gifts at Christmas that will stay on our shelves for years. And they will collect dust. And we'll look at them and we'll smile. Oh, I remember when I asked for that. And I really wanted that. But man, I just never, you know, that's going to have to go into yard sale next year. You know, because I just never developed it. I never took that gift off the shelf and really learned how to use it. I want to encourage you to learn how to use the gifts that God has given you. We talk about those obvious gifts. We looked at 12 over these last few weeks that God has given to all of us if we're in Christ. But there are also those unique gifts that God has given you. Now, this is one of the things that we're going to talk about in the upcoming series, Building the Code. We're going to touch on this a little bit in that series. But I also want to suggest to you that when we do our discovery classes in classes 1, 2, and 3, when we do class 3 and we talk about discovering your spiritual gifts, this is one of the things we walk through and talk about, and we help you to think through, and we help you to identify, maybe discover what that gifting is in your life, and we start to give you some pathways to take and some roadmaps to take to figure out how to develop those gifts so that you can blossom and grow and become who Jesus desires you to be. But I would want to suggest to you that as we are on the other side of Christmas today and we have those gifts that we've received, I want to encourage you to learn how to use the gifts you have received. Learn to use them. See, gifts are so cool, and the greatness of it is not just when we unwrap them. The greatness of gifts is when we start to then use them. Has anyone used any of their Christmas gifts yet? Yeah! You know, oftentimes, like Brian, out the box, you know, outside. We got earphones for Eugene and another set of earbuds for Daniel. Out the box, over the ears or in the ears. Joan gave me a watch. It's on my wrist. You have never seen me wear a watch until today. Okay? Ever. I haven't worn a watch in about 12, 13 years. Okay? What happens? The great stuff about getting the gifts is not just getting them and opening them and unwrapping them. The great stuff about getting gifts is then getting to use them. And the other thing for me, I've experienced the really cool thing about using gifts is that often when I use the gifts, I think about the people who gave them to me. And that's also really cool because it's a really cool connection piece. And so then one of the other really cool things about using the gifts that God has given you, as you get to use those gifts, it gets you thinking about who God is and how great God is and how awesome He is and how wonderful it is that He gave you this stuff that you can use that really works and it's wonderful and makes life so much better. God, you're so cool. And it's great the gifts work. So learn to use the gifts you've been given. Because you have been given some amazing gifts. Am I making sense? All right. Second point. White elephants. Anyone have a white elephant party yet? I see at least one hand. Not this Saturday, but a week from Saturday, we're going to have my family get together. We're going to do a white elephant party. Now, I have to give you some of my redneck cred for white elephants. A number of years ago, my cousin would come up to where we lived and would do some raccoon hunting. And as he would hunt for these raccoons, you're hunting for them and you want the pelt. And so they would then go and he would sell the raccoons and trade them in. Now, some of you might go, oh, that's terrible. Well, I'm identifying where my redneck cred comes from. It may not be where your redneck cred comes from, but it's where some of mine comes. Well, anyway, my cousin shot a raccoon. It's one of many he shot, but it wasn't a good time, a good season to sell raccoon. So he said to Mom and my dad, can I stick my raccoon in a freezer for a while and when the season is good, come back and get it, thaw it out, and just sell it? And of course, my folks said, sure. So he took that raccoon, he wrapped it up in one of those plastic bags that we all use. You know, we all go to ShopRite and Wawa and other places, and we want as many of those bags as we can because we use them for everything. Okay, and that raccoon was put in one of those bags, and that raccoon surfed in our freezer for like 5 or 6 years. I'm serious. So we would go shopping, got to move the raccoon to put groceries in. We got to go downstairs to the freezer to get some for dinner. Got to move the raccoon to get the stuff out of the freezer. That raccoon moved all over our freezer. Finally, one year, it was time for a white elephant party. And we're thinking, what in the world do we bring? I said frozen raccoon. That was a fun white elephant party. But you notice this when you go to white elephant parties? Invariably, you show up at this white elephant party and you're all bringing stuff that you hope you never ever have to take home again. You hope that you don't get stuck with the present you bring. And then you're amazed because somehow in that party, there's one or two white elephant gifts that everyone starts to want. And you're watching this thing and you're looking at this and you're going, you have got to be kidding me. You want that thing? This is what's amazing about white elephants. Overwhelmingly, usually, they're still great gifts. It's just that you forgot how great it was. And you've overlooked why it was a good gift. And the reason those people are hunting for it and wanting for it and competing, oh, I'm not going to wrap it. I'm taking it. And the next person gets up, oh, you thought you had it. No, no, it's coming home with me. And they're all going, I hope I'm the last pick because it's coming home with me. You think you've got it. You're not going to get it. I want it. It's kind of fun. And then you see the exchange process that goes on after the white elephant giving is done. Because sometimes in that white exchange process, it's not just that one thing, but someone goes, you know, would you trade with me? Because I know I kind of really like that. If you want to trade, would you trade? It's just kind of fun to see. Now, I'm waiting to see what my brothers and siblings, we all bring to the white elephant party that we're going to have in a week and a half. I'm curious. I don't think there'll be any more frozen raccoons, but I'm curious to see what's going to show up and what we're going to desire to have. But here's what I want you to notice. God gave it to you. Are there gifts in your life that you would say, this would be a good white elephant gift if we come to the Christmas Christian Christmas gift exchange? And can I suggest to you that God hasn't given you any white elephants? There's not a single thing in your life that God hasn't given you that you can't use and be blessed with. There's not a single thing that God has given you that you don't need to exchange for something else. Am I making sense? So it comes right back to that first point. I want to encourage you to learn to develop the gifts you've used, that you've been given. Learn to develop them. And don't treat some as really good and, that can go on the shelf for later on. Last point, returns and exchanges. Returns and exchanges. Now, we know what we do the returns and exchanges for, right? We do returns and exchanges because sometimes we say it's the wrong color, it's the wrong size. Now, sometimes that's not the case. I was talking to an individual one time, and this person was talking to me about their spouse. And they said to me, how would you feel if every time you purchased your wife something, she wanted to return it and get something else? Sometimes we're just wired and interested in not even enjoying what's been given, but we just want to return it because there's something else we think we want more. Returns and exchanges. Now, there's a verse of scripture that we're going to go to in 1 second. I don't want to go there yet. This is one of those verses of scripture that is both, from my worldview, both a phenomenal encouragement and terrifying all at the same time. Let's go there, Eugene. And we know that God causes everything to work together for good to those who love God and are called according to his purpose for them. We read that verse and we find comfort in the fact that God is working out all things together for good. And there is comfort in that. But here's the terrifying part. Paul is writing this and he's talking about this because he's also recognizing, and the people that he's writing to are also recognizing, that we need that encouragement because there's stuff coming into our lives that we really don't like, that we really don't want, and we're not happy about it. And we're being reminded that if you are walking with Jesus and if you're walking a journey that God wants you to walk, we have encouragement for you. God's going to bring blessing into your life. God works all things together for good. Now, go to that next verse. And we come to this next verse. And we say, what shall we say about such wonderful things as these? If God is for us, who can ever be against us? And we say to ourselves, well, God, I feel like you're against me. You ever say that? Well, we have a definite no, but there are times I've felt that way. You know, there are times when you look at the response to that, and you can kind of say, fill your personal expletive here. But how you're reacting, how you're responding. Let me touch a couple points in my personal journey as I walk through this. Joan and I, as we walked our journey, had a couple of significant things happen. Joan and I both come from big families. So there's 5 kids in my family. There's 6 kids in Joan's family. And so we're getting together, talking about all this kind of jazz and talking about kids and life and all that kind of stuff. And we both, as we talked and were dating, we said, we want a big family. And for both of us, it was like, check. Okay, that's a good thing. I want a big family. She wants a big family. That's not something we're going to have to debate about. That's not something we're going to have to argue about. Check. We both want a big family. Because we've enjoyed our family. I mean, I continue to enjoy my family. Joan continues to enjoy her family. We both have families we really enjoy, and we like that. And we wanted to have our kids. We had the kids, and we wanted to have a big family. And that was a great thing. Until you discover you can't have kids. And you walk through the process, you walk through the journey, and you finally come to the conclusion after about 7 years that you're not going to be able to conceive children. And that's when that first verse at Romans 8:28 starts to kick in. And where it says, all things work together for good to those who love God and are called according to his purpose. Amen to that. But at the time as you're walking through that, you're kind of going, say, God, I really don't like the deck of cards you've just dealt me. God, this really stinks. And God, this is a really hard deal. Because we wanted to have a big household. We wanted to have a lot of kids. That might be God calling. I have a hunch it might. Is it you, Mom? It sounds like your phone. Okay. Not this time. It'll be just like one of my sisters to call just about now. It was Mom, wasn't it? Oh, okay. Well, that's her ringtone also. So, you wrestle through that journey. Now, let me tell you something. As I wrestle through that journey, and we come back to, Eugene, go back to that other verse for a second. You come to that. Now, has God worked all things together for good? He did. Now, in that journey, one of the things that we had to wrestle through, and one of the things that we had to process through was, Joan and I looked at each other, and we had to come to the point where we said, well, are we going to be content with it just being us? In walking through the steps of life and learning to be content with the deck of cards that God has dealt out to you was an important journey, an important lesson for us to learn. It was a valuable lesson for us to learn, and it's a lesson that we carry at different points and in different ways. And it was a gift of God for us to be able to be dealt that hand and to experience and work through those it's carried with us, okay, over our journey. So for the last 30 some odd years, we've been married 32 years, so it's been a 7-year process. So last 25 years, we have walked through and benefited from that battle, that tension point of learning what it means to be content with what God brings into our life. And what struck me is that God didn't open the door for us to pursue adoption until we came to the point where we were willing to accept and be content with just Joan and I being Joan and I, and not Joan and I plus a household of kids. It was a really important lesson for us to learn to be content. And in this, all things work together for good to those who love God and are called according to his purpose. I accept that, but oftentimes that whole conversation comes with a recognition that there's a challenge, there's a hurdle, there's an obstacle, there's something painful going on, so that we need that encouragement to know that God is working everything out together for good, so that we can accept the fact and accept the reality that that life challenge has purpose. I thought about today putting another picture up here, a picture of a little boy that none of you have ever met. It's our fifth son. You've never met Contrell. Our pictures of Contrell stop at 2.5. Man. In the circumstances, and it's a bigger story than just that, but this, for us, our relationship with Contrell stops at 2.5. All things work together for good to those who love God and are called according to his purpose. But with that comes a challenge, recognizing that there's a hurdle. Now, that's where Eugene, go to that next verse. That's where this next verse really kicks in for me, because what shall we say about such wonderful things as these? If God is for us, who can ever be against us? Can I tell you? About 4 months after we lost custody of Contrell, I recognized I was thoroughly ticked off and ripped at God. I was angry at God. I wasn't rejoicing in God's goodness. I wasn't rejoicing in his provision. I wasn't rejoicing in the things that he'd allowed. I was ticked off. And I recognized that one of two things was going to take place. We've talked about this a little bit before, that I was either going to rage or I was going to learn to trust. One of two things was going to take place. See, the reality is that each one of us has huge obstacle things that lands in our lives. See, I'm not alone in this. And I'm not alone with just having a couple of huge obstacle things that have landed in my life. All of us have had huge obstacle points land in our lives. Can I tell you, losing Contrell for us was a tipping point. It's one of those big stones in the journey of life. Not being able to have kids was a smaller stone. It was a stone. It was a stone that the creek had to figure out how to go around. But losing Contrell, that redirected and diverted the river from the flow it was in to a totally different path. And each of us has had things like these happen in our lives. Now, for me in this journey, I learned that I need to trust God. And so these big obstacle things, these big hurdle things in our journey of life, for me, learning that I can be content with what God allows into my journey. And learning that I need to trust God. There's a day coming when I'm going to get to heaven and I'm not going to look at God and wag my finger and say, why did you do that? Because it's not my place to do that. But what I am going to do is I'm going to get there and I think I'm going to say, God, you were doing something that I didn't see or I didn't understand. Could you help me see what you were doing? Because God is doing something. I just don't know what it is yet. And I may not know and I may not understand the full picture of the things that God was doing until the end, until I get to glory. And I may not even discover it right away there. But one of the things that I've learned in this journey is I've learned to trust God. Come big issue, little issue, I gotta trust. I'm gonna trust him. I don't understand, doesn't make sense, but God, I'm gonna trust you. It's a big rock. And I had to come to the point where I come back to the point where I don't want to be angry at God and rage at God, where I can hold on to God and rest in God because I know that God has got me. Yeah. Can I tell you that those are great gifts, but those are gifts that we want to return and exchange? Do you understand that? There's large parts of me that if I could go back and have that happen differently, I'd hunger for that. But that's not how life goes. Life, you don't get to go back and redo things, and life flows through the process. And God allows things in our lives, and God does this to do things and build things and shape us and do things in our lives. And we have these things that God does, and we want returns and exchanges. And I want to encourage you to learn the lessons that God is seeking to teach you and learn from the gifts that God is seeking to place in your life for your good. I have a friend who says to me, he says, I think you're one of the few people I know who has the gift of faith. That's what he says to me. And he says that because of what I have learned in my journey with Cantrell. Now I'll be honest with you. Even as I reviewed this last night, I cried, and I just cried a moment ago. My experience with Cantrell in particular continues to be one of those points in my life that's going to, it's a point that's always going to hurt. Now, there's healing there, but there's a scar. The same kind of things happen in your life. The same kind of stuff happens there. For me, I learned to trust God. I don't always have to understand. In fact, there's many times I don't. But I learned that I can trust God and that he is truly working out all things together for good in my life. I don't always understand. It doesn't always make sense, but I can trust him. It's a huge gift. Can I tell you that is a huge, 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 huge gift? That's not just a little gift. That gift is bigger than the tree. It's an amazing gift. I would have liked the cost of learning and unwrapping that gift to have been different. But that's not what God planned for me. And it was an amazing gift. I want to encourage you to embrace the gifts that God has given you. It's white elephant, return and exchange season. Don't return or seek to exchange the gifts that God has given you. Don't try to take one of those gifts that God has given you and turn it into a white elephant, hoping to get something else instead. Rejoice in the gifts that God has given. Three challenges I want to give as we close. Number one, we've been saying this, learn how to use the gifts you have received. You see this on the bottom. Learn how to use the gifts you have received. Number two, God has not given you anything you do not need. There's not a single gift that God has given you that needs to sit on the shelf because you don't need it. Can I tell you something? I've needed contentment, and I've needed trust. Huge, huge, huge pieces of life. I've needed both like crazy. There's not a single gift that God has given you that you do not need. You need every single one. And then this last one, God does not get things wrong. He doesn't get things wrong. Oftentimes in this process, we look at how things come and we say, I don't get this one. I don't understand this. I don't think he read the list right. I don't think she read the list right. He got me the wrong thing. And I think there are times we look at God and say, God, I'm not sure you got the list right. God never gets us the wrong thing. He never does. He always gets us exactly what we need. Let's pray together. Father, I say thank you this morning for the ways you do watch over us, and Father, for the amazing ways that you gift us. Father, the gifts come wrapped in different wrapping, and they come wrapped in sometimes unexpected ways. But Father, I say thank you for the ways that you intersect in our lives, the way you meet us, the way you love us, the way you pour yourself out upon us. God, you have been amazingly, amazingly good to us. Thank you. Father, as we conclude our conversation about the gifts you give, Father, help us to just rejoice in what you have done for us, in the gifts you have given. Father, be at work in us. Father, I thank you in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Pastor Andrew left three challenges for us. Eugene, can we throw them up again? The three challenges. The first one, learn how to use the gifts you received. Do you know what your spiritual gifts are yet? Have you discovered them? As Pastor Andrew said, we're going to be discussing that at a little bit fuller length in a few weeks. So I encourage you, if you've never discovered your spiritual gifts yet, to take and make sure that you're here for the next series as we unpack that a little bit more. And part of the challenge today, that'll be part of the challenge in several weeks, is for you to start attending some of these classes, class three specifically, where we kind of unpack some of that. So learn how to use your spiritual gifts. And if you don't know what they are yet, start getting that on your radar. Make sure you're here. Make sure that you start unpacking that together with us. The second one, God has not given you anything you do not need. Have you examined the things that he's given to you in your life? And have you figured out how to use whatever circumstances, talents, gifts, abilities, whatever he's given to you in your life, have you really kind of consecrated them to God? Have you said, God, how do you want me to take and use this stuff, this journey I've been on, or these things you've given to me, even the material things I have, how do you want me to use them for you and for your glory? I would encourage you to be thinking on that over the next couple of weeks. And then finally, the third thing, God does not get things wrong. Learn to trust him. I'm sure, as Pastor Andrew was talking, that part of your journey, the events of your journey start going through your mind, those painful things, those things that we wish we could return, went through your mind. Don't just let them fall back out as you walk out the door. Spend some time giving them over to God. figure out how it is that, that God wants you to learn to trust him through that part of the journey and what he wants you to do with it. Because it's not by mistake that we've been down that road. So I would encourage you on those three things to really allow them to kind of sink in and to chew on those a little bit over the next week or two. And then as we move into the next series, we'll start unpacking maybe some more of those things in different ways. And I encourage you to be a part of that. In a moment, we're going to take the morning's offering, and the offering will come from the back forward. As the plates pass your row, feel free to stand and join us as we sing one last song. But let's pray together. God, you've taken us all down different journeys. You've given us different gifts. You've given us different experiences. You've done different things in our lives. And you've done all of that because you know what is best for us. And we don't always get that. We don't always see it. We don't always feel it. But as those who say that we love you, we want to be called according to your purposes. And so we ask that as we reflect on these things today, that you would help us to understand how you want to use all of this in our lives. Father, you make no mistakes. You never take us down a wrong alley. The GPS is never wrong with you. You never give us something we don't need. You give it all to us to use for your glory and for your purposes. So we pray that you would help us to discover that and to grab hold of it, even the painful stuff, that we might walk with you more closely and bring you greater glory. Father, we thank you for the opportunity we have to give this morning. We ask that you would take what is given this morning, that you would use it and multiply it, and we might be able to share the love of Jesus with those in our community and around the world. And we pray these things in Jesus' name.